Chapter 22. Preliminary procedures for the implantation remained the same as with every iteration that had come before. Khan's scalp was shaved completely, and the skin daubed with counterseptics and sanitizer gels that scoured away the top layer of skin to render it sterile. Medicaid servitors played the red beams of their false eyes over Khan, measuring the exact points where the nails would be inserted and marking them with the barely perceptible scars of precision laser etching. The mechanical slaves climbed out of the pit, shuffling aside as Khan's brothers began their part in the procedure. Bone saws and drills whirred as the apothecaries and tech marines cut the openings through skin, flesh, and skull, withdrawing neatly excised discs of blood-slick bone and dropping them into the steel trays arrayed around the surgical pit. The bulk of this newest iteration of the implants was comprised of a pair of fluted metal spikes, slightly shorter than the length of a legionary's hand. Each was open at the rear, crested with a plume of snaking wires as fine as human hair. Apart from the wires, the butcher's nails looked every bit their epithet. It was fitting, then, that they would be driven in with a hammer. The first blow rang with the contact of metal upon metal, and the soft sigh of the spike sinking into meat. The hammering that followed was far more delicate than the first, short, measured thuds that pushed the nail fully into Khan's brain. Rows of connection ports were cut and sutured into place across the back of Khan's head, as a mane of silver-segmented cabling was threaded into his skull. The cables were joined with the wiring jutting from the nails, fashioning what looked like a crest of metallic dreadlocks running across the rear half of Khan's skull, their appearance almost identical to that of Angron's own implants. At first, Khan thought it was the twinned beat of his heart's, the dormant second, roused to action by the trauma of having his skull drilled open and his brain altered. But it was not. It was something too quick to be the drums in his chest, yet still stinging from within his blood. An insistent pulse, ratcheting sharper and sharper with every passing moment. Tick, tick, tick. Khan's head began to tilt, the muscles of his face twitching in bouts of involuntary spasm. His manacled hands clenched and unclenched into fists, snapping his chains taut in jolts of clashing links. Tick. Tick, tick, tick. The apothecary was staring down at him, face impassive behind his white helm. He pulled the mask free, the face beneath creased in concerned curiosity. Staring at Khan like an insect pinned for study. Like a nothing. Like... Tick, 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 tick. Khan? Came his muffled voice, barely audible over the pounding blood and the white-hot needles in his brain. Khan could not tear his eyes from the vein in the apothecary's temple, pulsing with the blood beating out from his heart. Khan? Tick. Khan? Tick. You? Tick. Here? Tick. Me? Khan's nerves were burning. His blood was turning to poison. He felt control ebb from his limbs, but they were not going numb or slack. New strength was coursing into them, filling them to bursting, the veins rising to bulge across his musculature like swollen tributaries. The restraints broke in a string of snapping metal links. Khan heard the rushed voices around him as they backed away, sounding so thin, so weak, spurring his rage even higher as he tore the collar loose and surged up out of the pit to face them. An ululating cry ripped out from Khan's throat, a bestial noise beyond what even a transhuman should be capable of. Awareness snapped back into Khan, like a fever slackening but not fully leaving him. A heavy, metallic musk filled his nostrils, as familiar to him as it was unmistakable. His head twisted and jerked from side to side as he took in his surroundings with wide, bulging eyes, seeing what the apothecarian had become. Abattoir was too cold a word to describe it. Too poetic. A butcher used tools to cleanly carve meat, according to the rhyme and reason of his trade. There was no rhyme or reason present here, and the rending had been done by hand. Bodies were slumped haphazardly around him, their limbs ripped free and hurled aside, their flesh pulled apart to expose the glistening gore within. Their blood poured over the deck plating and splashed against the walls. Even the chamber itself was red, stained crimson from lumen strips coated in arterial spray. Khan didn't remember doing any of it, despite the marrow-deep conviction that it was he who had wrought this slaughter. He finally understood the blind fury that seized hold of Angron every time he was compelled to spill blood. For the first time, he had been lost to the nails. The body beneath Khan was still thrashing, clawing in futility with arms half torn from their sockets. Khan reached down, pressing his brow to the warrior's helm, and smashed down. The impacts rang out across the red room, again and again, until the ceramite shattered along with the skull within. Khan let his brother go then, exhaling furnace heat from a ruined face sheeted in blood. His fingers scraped at the faceplate, seeking purchase to tear it loose and taste the last vitality of the life ending beneath. Heavy footfalls crunched broken glass. A new shadow appeared, stretching over Khan, where he crouched atop his mutilated kin. He whirled about, hands curled into blood-slick claws. The primal snarl died in his throat as he saw who was standing over him.
"Do you see now?" asked Angron.
The Primarch reached down, running blunt fingertips across the silver cables of Khan's implants. Khan twitched, his synapses screaming out their demands for violence at being touched, but awe kept him fixed in place.
"Do you see?"
With a soft crackle of bloody froth, Khan's jaw unclenched. Bits of broken teeth spilled from his lips to scatter across the deck, not all of them his own.
"Yes."
Angron straightened, returning to his full towering height. For the first time, Khan did not see the aloof revulsion that had always been writ across his father's face. Rather, the dark metal pegs that stood in place of Angron's teeth were bared, not in feral challenge, but in some ugly approximation of approval. Perhaps even pride.
"Then come."
Angron smiled and offered Khan his hand.
"Come with me, my son."